Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Let me remind you at the very outset of this broadcast today, if you'd like to join in the dialogue and the discussion, ask any questions, be delighted to entertain your questions, your comments, and your statements. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Sometimes I forget to remind you of that, so I thought at the outset we needed to get that before us so that you could join in the dialogue and discussion. It's always our delight to have your input on our discussion. We're going to be talking about today spies in the church. We're talking about spies in the church in the United States of America, where governmental agents are sent in to see what you're doing, see what you're preaching, teaching, see whether or not you're social distancing, and to determine whether or not you're wearing masks, et cetera, et cetera. Would you have ever believed that that would take place in America? Well, it is. It's happening now. We need to be concerned as Christians. We need to sit up, take notice, be involved if we're going to, in any way, redeem our liberties that we have under our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is God's Word, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, that is our foundation for all that we do and say. It ought to be the truth book for every Christian in particular. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, we're free as a people, and that freedom that we have was given to us by God himself, codified in our Constitution, in our religious liberties and the freedom of speech. But it's our freedom that we have, ladies and gentlemen, with the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." He further states in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to stand on truth. It is having a central biblical worldview. It's not a matter of denominationalism or some denominational distinctive. It's a matter of standing on the truth of the Word of God. And may I commend that to you. It was the secularist George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're living in that era today. We're living in that very day and time where truth is despised, rejected, hated. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." May I commend that to each of us today? You won't find truth in Washington. In fact, it was Trey Gowdy, when he decided not to run for re-election, that he said when he first went to Washington, he thought the whole goal and the game plan would be to seek truth. He said he discovered that in Washington, they're not interested in truth at all. And may I remind you that that's where we are in society in general. A total disallowance and a dissing of anything that is called truth. If you don't believe that, just watch Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, AOC, and the others of the squad, and you'll determine quickly that they're not interested in truth. I watched a little bit of the Ted Wheeler's speech the other day. He's the mayor of, I believe it's Portland, Oregon. And he said the whole problem is that's causing the 90-plus days, I believe it's 94, 95 days now, of upheaval in the streets where one has just been killed. Several have, hundreds have had their businesses destroyed, looted, burned, et cetera, et cetera. And the mayor had the audacity to say, the problem is the president, Donald J. Trump, that he's causing all of that. Never mind the fact that the mayor himself is doing nothing to contain it. In fact, he said during the course of his diatribe, when he had his key law enforcement officer for the city speak also with him, he said they just simply didn't have enough police officers, that although they could contain one area, that in some of the days, four or five locations have broken out with the disturbance, he called it, not rioting, but disturbances. So we understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is there's a cause and effect, and it's because of what's happening with the loose like lost liberals in some of these blue cities and states that's allowing this to take place. And yet we're to believe somehow the demonic lie that it's because of the president. That's just a good illustration of what we see taking place in America today, that's rejecting of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They have a full knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment and power generation backup equipment for the hurricane season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic flag, American flag, Old Glory, on a 165-foot flagpole. That flag is flowing 24/7. Find that flag. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed the very clear national political bias against the church today? Yes, I'm speaking of political bias. It is a political anti-God, anti-church, anti-Christ, anti-Christian bias that we see promulgated, and it seems to be now permeating our society in America. It's not something that is new. It's something that's old, 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 but it's something that is now permeating a greater level of society. Across America, we've seen the demonic battle against God, against good, and especially as it is very, very clear today, it is against the very foundation of our nation. The foundation of our nation was built on biblical values, biblical truths. And Psalms 11:3 says, if our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think we're supposed to do as Christians? Should we sit down, be silent? Should we shut up and bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich and pretend it's not happening? Well, unfortunately, we have that taking place across America. I personally believe that it's because of the silence in the pulpits that we see the promulgation and the increasing of the bias against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an article that says, new uncivil war is putting the bullseye on Christians today. And it has an introductory brief two paragraphs. Let me read them to you. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Americans united. Al-Qaeda terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Americans united. Democrats and Republicans in Congress sang patriotic songs from the Capitol steps. George Floyd died beneath Derek Chauvin's knees. Again, Americans united. But then Saint Hypocrisy arrived. The media, the political class, and the educators had correctly championed the belief that we cannot hold all Muslims responsible for 9/11. Now, these same cities, these same elitists in these cities want us to justify hurling epithets, spit, and bricks at completely innocent police because of systemic police racism. The increased diverseness is more than just tensions between Democrats and Republicans, between progressives and conservatives, capitalist and socialist. It's more profound. It's the secularist versus the Christian, the secularist versus the Christian. And the article goes on to talk about a multitude of things of how that is seen. Part of it, it says, the Christian notion that God loves us, created us in his image, and sent his son to die for us affects the kinds of governments people build upon. But that belief also gives us a sense of worth, of significance, even if it is only carrying the bedpan in a nursing home. However, the secularists derive their significance from work of their own hands, from how much power, prestige, and status and influence they can attain. With them, power is the biggest asset to them. Further, the article says the results are always the same. Broken relationships, civil discord, violation of justice, the secularist quest for power fuels our increase in divisiveness. End quote. That's the man whom true Christians make their role model. He came not to be served, but to serve, speaking in the previous text about Jesus in Matthew 22. Our Constitution was built to work with people who believe that to be true. Can it keep working if we cease to have those beliefs? Our founders didn't think so. Thomas Jefferson said, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient and modern, which have come under my observation, none appear to me so pure as that of Jesus Christ." John Adams went further. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern for the government of any other. Finally, the article states, a pastor friend surmised it that the 22 candidates who sought the Democratic nomination, none possessed such a biblical worldview. The Christians in holy huddles, hymn singing, country clubs, are walking up and finally responding to the secularist war against them. The beheading of three statues of Mary, one of Jesus, and burning of the Bibles in Portland, Oregon, is getting our attention, this article says. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time that our attention was gotten. It's time that we as Christians sit up, take notice, and recognize what's truly taking place in America with the subversion of our Bill of Rights, and especially, ladies and gentlemen, with our constitutional rights in the found within the Constitution, our Bill of Rights for the religious freedom and the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today that thousands of God's churches remain closed. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Thousands of the churches are closed today. It is onerous to think that that is being done, being carried out by the tyrannical orders, by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic mayors and governors. A recent Barna report says that perhaps one out of five of these churches that are closed will never reopen. One of five will never reopen. Let me read you part of the article. One in five churches facing permanent closure within 18 months. As many as one in five churches could permanently close as a result of the shutdown stemming from the coronavirus pandemic, according to David Kinman, president and the prominent Christian research organization, Barna Group. In an interview with NPR Monday regarding the status of the American churches after months of shutdown, Kinman said, although churches were handling things pretty swimmingly at first, circumstances have changed far more and far worse today. He noted that although many churches have opened as state shutdown orders are loosened, their services have had a lot less people coming, this article says. They're recognizing that the relationships that they thought were much deeper with people were actually not as deep as they expected. Kinman then explained that in keeping with research from earlier this year, he still expected to see about one in five churches permanently close within the next 18 months. Ladies and gentlemen, that's as a result of the tyrannical savagery that's taking place in America today against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an article that says, despite government's official using of regulations to crush religious freedom, all is not lost. Historically, religion and its ardents have been oppressed by government. By contrast, America has been singularly in its dedication to preserving freedom of its people to expect and experience religious freedom. Quote, that is now rapidly changing across America. the number of violent attacks on churches and church gatherings witnessed in recent months is upsetting. Protesters and rioters across the country have decapitated statues of Jesus, desecrated images of Virgin Mary, and vandalized monuments to a Jesuit priest. Churches in Washington, D.C. to California have been set ablaze, and symbols of oppression, fire, chain, and boot at the tool and trade of a culture laying siege to religious freedom. Using the pandemic as an excuse, here's where I'm going. Using the pandemic as an excuse, elected officials have threatened to permanently shut down synagogues, churches, even in drive-through services are forbidden, and singing and chanting in religious services, while decreeing that massive protests with shoutings and singing are, in fact, allowed. A nation truly committed to religious freedom would, in time of national crisis, welcome the centrality and the essentiality of religious exercise, but not ban it. Further, this article states, in the face of such hostilities toward religion and religious freedom, the faithful have celebrated the progress made in recent years in courts. But wins to defend freedom in court, as the attacks are increasing nationwide, is not fully good news. Ask one of our firm's newest clients, Gail Blair, a blind woman who has been banned from the public park simply because she offered a free copy of the Gospel of John to those who may want it. Even if we win in this case, which we will do all in our power to do, these increased attacks on the church is not good in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's coming from Kelly Shackelford, the president and CEO of and chief counsel of his organization of Defending Liberty Freedom and our Bill of Rights in our churches in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're wanting to understand, and I want us to recognize that the church is under attack. The church is in America under attack. And as we're going to see in a moment, as we look at article after article after article in relationship to these attacks, how they're intensifying to the point of governmental agents going into the churches to record video and tape, record what is happening in our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, that's egregious. That's anti-constitutional. That is absolutely one of the most egregious illegal acts that could take place. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. How are churches to defend themselves from it? How can you ascertain who is the spy and who's coming to worship? That's what we see taking place in China. We're going to look at major articles about what is happening in China and then make a transition to what we see happening in that vein in the United States of America today. It's egregious. I would have never believed it myself that this would be possible today. But it's under the cloud of COVID-19, ladies and gentlemen. These anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church governors and mayors are exhibiting their disdain and displeasure and absolute animus toward Christianity in America today. I believe that it's time sincere Christians recognize we're being attacked frontally. Here's an article that talks about an all-out assault on faith. 1 in 3 Americans say their religious liberty is under attack. America is in the throes of a constitutional crisis, this writer says. Radical opponents, abusive government officials, and the toxic cancel culture. That's cancel, C-A-N-C-E-L, cancel culture. That is, I don't like you, I'm going to cancel you. I don't like church, I'm going to cancel it. I don't like religious liberties, we'll just cancel it. The cancel culture are all trying to dismantle and destroy the ideals that are essential to the heart and soul of our nation. From California's ban on churches singing to the brazen discrimination against Jewish minorities in Texas and New York and even banning a blind elderly woman we just read about in Rhode Island for simply sharing her faith in a public park. Governmental officials continue to downgrade religious freedom to second-class citizen status. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, you might disagree. That's all right. You might feel that it's not taking place because it hadn't happened to you personally. But it's time we sit up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. But he said, this article says here, that government officials continue to downgrade religious freedom to a second-class citizen status. Ladies and gentlemen, enemies of religious freedom will not stop until they've destroyed the ideals and the liberties that's always been part of America's DNA. We must stand together, ladies and gentlemen, to stop the oil out of salt, or we will all end up paying the price and losing our cherished constitutional freedoms. How does that sound for a challenge today? Maybe you say, I'm going to leave that up to my pastor. What if your pastor's hiding under the bed or in the closet? What if your church is still closed? Should that be the norm? But yet we see, ladies and gentlemen, not just here in Jacksonville, Florida, but across the state of Florida and across the United States of America, we see thousands upon thousands of churches still closed. Here's an article that says, in a recent poll conducted by the University of Chicago's Divinity School and the Associated Press Center for the Public Affairs Research, a vast majority of Americans, 81%, said that the issue related to freedom of religion is personally important. 81%. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's true, then go back to church. Open the doors. If your pastor's not willing to come preach, find one that is willing to do so. I am a little bit upset, irritated, exacerbated because of the exacerbated condition in America where we find that I talk with people just about every week. It says, my church is still closed. I don't have church on Wednesday night. I don't have services on Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the old norm of just a few years back. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, three times a week especially, the church doors are open so people could come and be fed from the Word of God, be nourished in the Word of God, where there's comfort and care and concern one for another, that there might be strength and empowerment, encouragement one for another as a result of that. It is something that we need to take very seriously today, ladies and gentlemen, of what is happening with the denigration and thus the disintegration of our churches in America. Here's an article by Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. Christians in some of the states with the most outrageous restrictions on church gatherings are rising up with one voice, risking everything to demand their God-given inalienable rights to worship. This article states, if the adage that the church grows under oppression is true, the church in America surely must be ready to boom. America has never witnessed. Listen, America has never witnessed. And may I add a little parenthetical footnote to Matt Staver's statement. America has never witnessed in the history of America such obvious and intense attacks on religious freedom. The fundamental right of Americans to worship according to their own conscience is being actively squashed by many tyrannical state and local leaders. These governors favor anti-God, Marxist, revolutionary riots over believers gathering peacefully to worship in their churches. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we find with these socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic governors and mayors that it's okay to get out in the street and demonstrate, as they call it, but it's actually rioting. It's thugs that's going out robbing and pillaging and burning and destroying businesses and lives. It is these thugs, ladies and gentlemen, that's being given more liberty today than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if that upsets you or not. It does me. I don't know if it agitates you. It does me. I don't know if it bothers you. It does me. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Government agents post a message on the church doors. It says singing is unlawful. The message posted on the front door of the North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California was jarring. Cease and desist, the order said. That's what the four-page letter read that was pasted on the door of the church. The Santa Clara County Council officially ordered, ladies and gentlemen, the megachurch to shut its doors. They were in violation of the state law, the article states. The congregation had been accused of holding indoor services, failing to ensure the speakers wore face masks and singing. Yes, good readers, the church stands accused of singing hymns and spiritual songs, end quote. The North Valley Baptist Church is failing to prevent those attending, performing, and speaking at North Valley Baptist services from singing, read the letter. This activity is unlawful, the letter said. Let that sink in for just a moment, this writer says. Congregational worship is against the law in California. Santa Clara County acknowledged in their cease and desist order they had been sending agents into the church to spy on the congregation during the worship services, end quote. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, this is Chris.
I'm doing well. Hey, Chris.
Hey, I just got a question that we're supposed to be going about our business, and but I do believe that the One World Order is in effect in full force. So what are we as Christians supposed to be doing? Because we're not going to change what God's already got planned. But like you said, the church needs to be in there, and we're supposed to still going about his business, telling them about salvation. I just want to know your comments about that.
Well, I think as the church, we need to keep on being salt and light. Salt is no value. It's only good for being cast out and trodden underfoot if it is not being the salt that God called us to be. Salt is in the world, mingled with the world to preserve the decay in society. Light is designed to come out from under the bed, out from under the bushel, and to be on a candlestick, as the scripture tells us, that it can be seen to illuminate a darkened society. And what we're finding today, Chris, is more and more so-called Christians, those that are supposed to be practicing believers, that have simply decided that we're going to cower before the tyrannical dictates of the governmental agents that say you cannot sing, you cannot worship, you cannot obey God, and it is simply following the pattern, the playbook that is taking place in China and has been taking place in China for the past 5 years, where it's intensifying, and we see the same pattern, the same playbook being utilized in America. And yes, you're right. What we're watching is the fomenting of and the fundamental foundations of what eventually will be the dystopian utopia that is so sought after by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats today. In fact, Joe Biden's already said that if he's elected president, he's going to cancel the First Amendment right. That gives us a good idea of where we're going. But that does not mean that we're to be silent. Does not mean that we're to sit and do nothing. It means that Christians ought to be encouraged and challenged and bolstered, if you will, in our faith to keep on standing even in the face of the tyrannical government that is the authoritarian force that's coming against the church today. But you're exactly right. Brother, keep on keeping on, keep on praying, keep on looking up. As I've said so often, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because the next thing on the counter to God is the rapture of the church, and then the dictator Antichrist will step on the scene and will rule and reign, and there'll be no such thing as religious liberty. There's no such thing as a church, no such thing as Christians being able to pray. That'll all be over, and that'll all be gone. So for every Christian listening, we need to recognize that the day is time is short. The day is coming when our liberties will absolutely be eviscerated or totally changed so that we will not have that freedom anymore. Chris, thank you, brother, for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about spies in the church. Let me read you one more time before we take our news break. Santa Clara County acknowledged in its cease and desist order that was pasted on the door of the church that they had been sending, had been past tense, sending agents, that's plurality, agents, that is governmental agents, that means Gestapo agents, into the church to spy on the congregation during their worship services. I don't know anything that's any more egregious than that, ladies and gentlemen, than to know that somebody that's sitting there next to you in the church service may be there for an ulterior motive of trying to shut the church down because they may be governmental spies. Ladies and gentlemen, that's never happened in the United States of America in the history of our great nation, where spies from the government's been sent in to the church to try to undermine, tear down, and destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ going forward. I am greatly grieved by it, and I think we need to understand it is not just there. It is expanding across the nation, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a one-minute break for the news. Immediately following our news break, ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back and complete our thoughts today on spies in the church. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll be right back as we continue to Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.